Okay, let's see if I remember how to do this. Back behind the microphone, welcome to the program once again. And first off, thanks to Gord Stellick, who, by the way, if you don't know by now, is kind of a secret weapon and has always been one around these places. Thanks to Gordy for filling in, going back to last Thursday while I was out of town at a kids' hockey tournament in Chicago. Gordy, thank you. You are the best. My producer today is Austin Mackey. Matt Marchese is off. I believe it is food poisoning, and I believe the culprit is leftover shawarma. Dun, 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 dun. Is that bad to have his leftovers the day after? Just as a quick aside, is that in the category of you shouldn't eat this the second day? I'm unaware. Normally, Lebanese sandwiches don't make it much past, you know, 4 or 5 minutes around me. So I don't know that I've ever had any leftover Lebanese food because usually that's all cleaned up quickly. All right. The Western Conference, we've been talking plenty about here on this program and elsewhere, could be set tonight, could be finished this evening. And also, the Florida Panthers can claim the NHL's top regular season prize. That is the President's Trophy. Welcome to the Jeff Merrick Show for this Tuesday, April the 26th. Glad to have you aboard and nice to be back talking to you. 13 games around the NHL this evening after a very quiet night yesterday with the Philadelphia Flyers and the Chicago Blackhawks. I know many were tuned into, well, certainly in Canada, either the Toronto Blue Jays win over Boston or the Toronto Raptors win over Washington. Dun, 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 dun. What's that, Lance Kennedy? Or Philly, rather. Did I say Washington? I meant Philly. Big one in Big D tonight. As the Dallas Stars can punch their playoff ticket and eliminate the Vegas Golden Knights from playoff contention with a regulation win this evening. I know we've been talking a lot about Vegas over the past few weeks, if not months, and that saga could come to an end tonight if Dallas wins in regulation. And by come to an end, I mean start a new beginning, because the minute the Vegas Golden Knights are out of playoff contention, all the questions begin. Now, if Vegas gets a point tonight in this game against the Dallas Stars, they stay alive. As faint a hope as it might be, they technically stay alive. Edmonton, meanwhile, and can we like stick tap here how good Jay Woodcroft and Dave Manson have been for this team since the coaching change, how they've deployed the Edmonton Oilers, what they've done with this team, which is essentially the same squad that Dave Tippett had. Edmonton looks real good with Woodcroft here. Edmonton, with any kind of win over Pittsburgh, can clinch second spot in the Pacific. Want to mention the Carolina Hurricanes as well. Any kind of win by the Carolina Hurricanes over the Rangers this evening, and they wrap up the Metropolitan. I mentioned the Florida Panthers a couple of moments ago. Here's what they have up for grabs. The Cats can secure the President's Trophy with a win against Boston and a Colorado loss against the St. Louis Blue. So that's where we're at. Like, there's a bunch of other clinching scenarios and position scenarios. I'm not going to bore you with all that off the top of the broadcast today. A couple of things. Regan Carey is the new commissioner of the Premier Hockey Federation, former USA Hockey director of women's ice hockey, worked with the national women's team, has worked with the Atlanta Hawks, has worked with the Atlanta Thrashers as well. She'll be joining me towards the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the PHF as they look forward to season 8. And I guess one of the things that's of particular interest north of the border is, you know, every time I ask if there's going to be expansion into Montreal, I always hear, yes, it's happening full steam ahead, but never any details. We should probably get on that page and see what's happening with the PHF in Montreal, as it sounds very much like the PWHPA should be announcing at some point their league, believed to begin next January. IIHF news as well. The IIHF has withdrawn rights for the 2023 World Hockey Championships from Russia. I know many are looking at that news and saying, A, I thought that was already done, and B, if not, why did it take so long? But here we are. That will be rescheduled for another country. I wonder about Switzerland. I wonder about Switzerland if it ends up there. Speaking of the IIHF and international hockey, I reported this on Hockey Night in Canada a couple of weeks ago. The World Junior Hockey Championships for 2023 I had mentioned a while ago the IIHF had asked Canada to host. I know there may be a little bit of host fatigue by Hockey Canada, whether it is the Hlinka Gretzky, whether it's the made-up U20, both those tournaments in Alberta this summer, in August specifically. But Canada has accepted it, and it's down to five different locations, a combination of Saskatoon, Regina, London, Kitchener, Ottawa, which is a joint between the 67s and the Senators, Quebec, Ontario, Riviera, Halifax, and Moncton. And everything, even though they're not close to making the decision official, everything that I've been led to believe, or all arrows are pointing, or the direction where this one is heading, is it looks very much, if I'm gonna handicap this thing, I'm guessing Halifax Moncton ends up with this thing. If I'm gonna lay anything down or throw a dart or gamble on who's gonna get this thing, I'm saying that all indications seem to be that a lot of the smart money here is going with Halifax and Moncton. So we're gonna be talking to Reagan Carey, president of the professional the PHF, the Premier Hockey Federation. Also, we'll be talking to Ryan Callahan, ESPN analyst, in hour two. Marty Turco, former Stars netminder, will be dropping by, now special advisor to the president of the Dallas Stars. Tonight is a huge game, and that's where we're going to start, with Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. How are you, Freach?
I'm good. How are you doing? Did you miss me?
Yeah, I missed you. I did. Although I know,
yeah,
listen,
sure
I
did, you liar.
You know I love you, Freach. You're my work mate, my work husband. I want to get into Vegas and Dallas, but I want to get a quick thought. I know you went to the ball game last night, the Jays and the Red Sox. Bo Bichette with his first Grand Slam ever. What did you make of the game last night?
Well, I mean, I love Berrios. I know he hadn't started very well, but you know, I'm a big fan, and it was great. I love baseball. I always love the way the game is played now, but I love baseball. I love watching the Jays. It was good to get together with a few of our buddies and go. I had a great time. And we didn't have as good seats as Martine and Christine did. Like, they have the real connections. They were right. They were six rows up behind home plate. We were six rows up first base side. So the true learning lesson of this is, if you really want the best seats at the Jays game, don't call me. Call Martine and Christine.
Yeah, Guyer and Simpson, those are the two you got to get in touch with. Just one more thing. That was a quick game, man. That thing was over fast.
So we're there with Amber, and Amber says, this game is going quick. And, you know, there was a time when Headline Sports had the radio rights for the Blue Jays, and I would work occasionally in the booth with Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth. And if you ever said this game was going fast, they would stare daggers at you, because that was going to mean that something was going to happen to bring the game to an absolute crawl. And so literally the moment Amber said this game is going fast, that's when the Red Sox scored two runs to tie it. So I looked at him and I said, you know, I wish Cheek was here, because he'd be, and Howarth were here, because they'd be staring daggers at you right now.
Big win by the Jays last night. Bo Bichette goes opposite field for the Grand Slam. Big win for the Toronto Blue Jays. But on the hockey page, Elliot, the big game tonight, Dallas and Vegas. And before we get there, we talked plenty on the podcast about the Robin Leonard situation, and the team announced that he is going to undergo surgery. Listen, anyone who wants to hear the discussion can check out the podcast. But, you know, the very latest leading into tonight's game is Robin Leonard having surgery. We thought there would be more shoes to drop coming off the weekend. That is the shoe to drop. What do you make of the Robin Leonard story right now?
Well, I think the thing is that, look, like I've said this to you a couple times this year, and I've said it publicly a couple times. This year, I'm very careful about what I say about Leonard and his health, because he has taken issue with some of the reporting around his injuries. And so whenever that happens, you have to be very careful, right? Mm-hmm. Now, on the weekend, like, you know, like we said, he told the team on Thursday night he was done. He was unhappy with some of the criticism he was getting and being pulled. He's legitimately injured. But there was, you know, there were talks about how can we make this work? Can you at least play through the end of the season? Then he saw the doctors, like, he's legitimately injured. And there's more than one. They announced
certain, you can see. Elliot, you can just watch him play. Yeah. Like there are a couple of times you've seen like barely even waving at the puck. You can tell this guy's hurting bad and he's gutting it.
Yes. And they announced one surgery, but I think there's two or three different injuries. You know, the thing is though, is that I've had the one thing I've also tried to be careful about is there's one person who I really trust, who I think is really plugged into this situation. And he has just said to me, be careful because this one is, it's not, there's a lot going on under the surface. It's like an iceberg. You know, if you see the iceberg, 6/7 of it is below the water. And I think one of the things that we'll see here is when the season's over, whenever that is for Vegas, what does everybody say? What does Leonard say? What does Peter DeBoer say? What does Kelly McCrimmon say? What do the other players say? You know, I think Leonard, rightly or wrongly, he feels he gutted it out as best he could, and he felt he was treated unfairly. And I think that's why we are where we are right now. But people just keep telling me there's a lot going on here, and it's best to let the particulars speak about it when they feel they're ready. And I just think that whenever Vegas season is over, there's going to be conversations about this. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, one of the things about a year in the NHL is teams will tell you you don't want noise. Like, there's always going to be things you're going to have to deal with publicly. Nobody goes through an 82-game season without, you know, some controversy or something that happens, a thing that you have to deal with. This whole season has been noisy in Vegas. And I just think that we're going to get to a point after the year where everybody's going to have their say. And I just want to hear what everybody has to say because it's been a hard year there. There's been a lot of controversy on and off the ice. And we got to see where it lands. I mean, the other thing here, Jeff, is that Leonard has 3 more years under contract in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And the money actually goes up the next 2 seasons. The next 2 years are the 2 highest paid years of his contract, $6 and $6.5 million. So, you know, how is all this going to get solved? And I just think that after this season, there's going to have to be a lot of, okay, this was too noisy a year. And how do we settle that down?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I wonder if, and again, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, ahead of today's game, which we haven't even spoken about yet, but at 8:30 Eastern, I know where I'll be glued.
Yeah, thanks for watching our show, jerk.
I will watch your show. I'll give the game the watch, the intermissions. I will tune out.
Yeah, I know. You don't like Anthony either.
Sportsnet Ontario tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern. The Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Detroit Red Wings. We'll get to the Maple Leafs situation here in a couple of moments. But let me just get ahead of myself here. If Dallas wins in regulation tonight, then there'll be a lot of questions about the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you know if, like, many organizations would look at a season like Vegas and say, look, we got hammered with injuries. Whether it was Mark Stone, which was significant, whether it was Alec Martinez, which was significant, whether it's Robin Leonard, who, you know, kept thrusting himself in net despite the fact that he was, you know, hurt. You know, there's the old saying, you can play hurt, but don't play injured. I think he's done both. I think he's been on the page of, I'm doing both of these things to try to get this team in the playoffs. I know it's an impulsive owner. I know what the expectations are for the Vegas Golden Knights. But do you think that the organization is in a place where they can say, look, these seasons happen. We're still a good team. If we don't make the playoffs, it's because of the injuries and we're okay with that. Or is it the motif and the idea that losing is never acceptable and there needs to be changes?
I think it's very hard to answer, Jeff, in the sense that we've never seen them have this kind of a season before. I think that oftentimes for me, I have a line, and Richard Petty used to use it all the time, the surest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Well, there's no past behavior like this in Vegas. Now, what we've seen is that they go after the best players. They try to win. And, you know, this year they had a bad year, and I think you can sense that they're not going to be happy with that. But we've never seen how they've had to react to this type of a season. Mm-hmm. Now, I do think that they're going to say the injuries were a major factor. You know, I'm actually working on my notes for tomorrow, the last weekly ones of the year, and I was having a really interesting conversation with somebody about what's happened to Vegas this year. And what they said to me is that there's a lot of teams that think like Vegas does, which is if a good player becomes available, you have to go get them. Because those players don't, or at least try to, because those players don't become available very often. Like Jack Eichel was a unique situation. A lot of people were interested. The question is who was willing to take the risk on the surgery? And I think one of the best stories of the year actually is, Jeff, that Jack Eichel and Tyler Johnson were able to have this surgery and come back and play. And hopefully that means that it's a good thing for people who need this kind of work in the future. And so, but the thing is like, there were a lot of teams out there that wanted to bring in Jack Eichel. There are a lot of teams out there that say, if a good player becomes available and we can get them, we have to find a way to make it work. But now everybody's looking at this and they say, boy, this is what happens when the worst case scenario occurs. Like you're trapped. You get injuries, you get stuck on the cap, and now, holy cow, like look what it's done as part of everything else there. And, you know, I'm curious to see, are teams who are aggressive going to look at what's happened to Vegas this year and say, that's a cautionary tale? Or are teams who are aggressive going to look at it and say, you know what, that's never going to happen again, and we're still going to be aggressive? I think that's going to be one of the biggest questions that comes out of this. Because I think there were a lot of teams out there. Like, look how many teams manipulate the cap. There's a lot of them. And look how many fans are out there saying, we wish our team would manipulate the cap. Well, this one blew up in Vegas's face, unfortunately for them. And, you know, like, I wonder if that's going to change behavior out there. I think with them, the biggest thing I think I look at for them, and I just said it a few minutes ago, is their season was too noisy. It was too dramatic. And it's not over yet, but there was too much drama. There was too much headline stuff in the news. And I think if you're Vegas, I think you're looking at it and saying, how can we be a little quieter? How can we get the focus back on our team and our play? Because this year, it was all about the subplots.
Mm-hmm. But many would look at that statement and say, well, hang on a second. That's Vegas. That's their identity on and off the ice. That's who they are. We've been applauding.
Nobody
them
wants
all the,
this.
We've been,
nobody
I,
wants
I,
this.
I know, I, but this is sometimes an unforeseen byproduct or an unfortunate byproduct of this. Like, one of the things we've always done about Vegas going back to day one is we've applauded them for being themselves. This is Vegas being Vegas. It's in your face. It's brash. At times it's tacky. It's loud. It's all of those things. And we've said, look, this is a team that reflects accurately their city. Now, in this case, it's bitten them in a significant way. I don't know if, you know, I don't, let me say this, and this is no offense to the Wild. I don't know if Vegas can behave like Minnesota.
Oh, are you calling people from Minnesota boring?
No, I'm just saying it's a quite.
No, I think,
quite,
yeah, I think
it's,
you are.
It's not noisy.
The entire state of Minnesota. No,
it's noisy.
You know what, Jeff?
It's
you're
not
right.
Noisy.
But the thing is, you know, but the thing is that you know you're not wrong about the team fits the identity of the city, but you can't win like this. You can't. You like. You can't win having the kind of year that they've had off the ice. And, again, some of that is injuries. A lot of that might be injuries. But still, there's too much drama. You can have the drama in certain ways, but you can't have this much of it. And again, I will stick with it. This was too noisy a season, and it's been trending in this way, and you have to stop it.
Has it been too noisy in Dallas? Now, Dallas and Vegas face off against each other, and there has been noise around Dallas, whether it's coaching, whether it's Klingberg, whether it's deadline, whether it's nobody knows who this team is, nobody knows who's coming back next season. I know Dallas hasn't been as noisy as Vegas, but as these two teams get set to face off tonight, and Dallas could, like, Dallas could punch the ticket tonight for themselves, for the Preds, for the Kings. Has that also been a noisy market for you?
You know what? I think with me, the sense I got from Dallas is their reaction to everything is, why are we this way? Why are we so inconsistent? Why are we not, you know, like, why have we been so uneven? I mean, the most consistent guys, that one line has been incredibly consistent all year. Hence, Robertson and Pavelski. And Haskinen's been very good, but a lot of the rest of their team has been incredibly up and down. And I think it drives them crazy. So that's what I think they look at and say, this is our problem, is that we're just too up and down. And, you know, we'll see what happens after this year. And you know what was weird for me to see last week, Jeff, is that, like, I love Jamie Benn. I think that when he's going, and I think they would like it to happen more often, he's a runaway train. You cannot stop him. And, you know, like, watching last week is, you know, Luke Shen took him on, and then Darnell Nurse took him on in two very different ways. Like, right before the playoffs, I was a little surprised. Not, you know, Shen and Nurse are tough guys, but they really took it to him.
They did. Well, I mean, Shen...
That was eye-opening for me. That was really eye-opening for me.
Yeah. I mean, the
that
Shen...
shouldn't be happening with him right the week before the playoffs.
The Shen thing was a reaction to the hit on Quinn Hughes. And right away, Shen, like, that's no surprise. It doesn't matter if it's anybody on the Dallas Stars that hits Quinn Hughes
Ben,
like that.
But the thing is, like, Ben tunes guys in those situations.
Yeah, usually he does.
And, like, Nurse, like, that was, like, it was just weird. It was... And Nurse is not soft by any stretch of the imagination. He's a tough guy, too, but... It was just weird for me, right before the playoffs.
Those are strong defensemen, right? Like, Luke Shen is strong. Like, Darnell Nurse, like, go ask Roman Polak, like, how strong, like, how tough Darnell Nurse is. That's not a surprise. Okay, so tonight, I know you'll be working the Toronto-Detroit game, but knowing you, you're going to have a strong eyeball on Dallas and Dallas and Vegas here. What are you looking for tonight, Frege? I mean, listen, no Robin Leonard. We all know that. Logan Thompson, Yuri Patera gets called up from the Henderson Silver Knights. That's another former Brandon Wheat King. They're in an organization that's full of them. What do you look for tonight between Vegas and Dallas here?
I think both these, if these teams don't come out and give us anything less than their best, it's an indictment on the teams, right?
Well, this is Dallas.
As you said, Dallas controls their destiny. They can knock. They can clear up the entire playoff picture.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
They can clear up the playoff picture.
They are the weirdest team to hold this hammer right now, because how many times, to your point previously, how many times have we said, we don't know which Dallas Stars team is going to show up, and we still don't.
And Vegas, they're done if they don't win this game.
How much does that game against the Sharks live in their heads?
You can't. I mean, I'm sure it will, but good. You can't. You got to clear it. You got to clear it. That was unbelievable. Like, what a game that was. Just, like, I thought they were home and cooled.
We all did. And then zip, Timo Meier with, was it 0.8 seconds? And then Bortolo in the shootout? That was In a lost season for the San Jose Sharks, that was that ray of sunshine.
Walk the walk. Timo Meier, good for him. By the way, Jeff, biggest game tonight, San Jose Anaheim.
Why do you say it's the biggest game?
In-season Stanley Cup.
Oh!
So I have San Jose. No, because this is the thing.
Oh, crap. I'm out of it.
So Amber is one half, which is a complete miscarriage of justice.
Yeah.
But so I have the cup right now because I have San Jose. But if San Jose wins tonight, I don't like their schedule to end the year. They've got to play. They've got to play Edmonton, and they got to play someone else. I'm just checking here. They've got to play Edmonton.
Edmonton's the last team that I have. Edmonton's the last team that I have, so I'll cheer San Jose tonight.
So if San Jose wins tonight, they have Edmonton at Seattle. But I just don't like that game against Edmonton. So, like, that's – but if Anaheim wins tonight, then they have one game left, and that's Friday at Dallas, who I have. So I think I want – a Ducks victory tonight, giving Carolyn the cup until Friday, and then Dallas gets one shot at. If Anaheim wins tonight, it's Carolyn versus me for the in-season cup on Friday.
No, I'm taking San Jose tonight, and then Edmonton grabs it, and then justice will properly be served. Because I should have had this thing from the get-go. I protested from day one when I wasn't given a point for holding the cup on the first day.
It doesn't. You don't get a point for winning a lottery, like you don't. And the thing is, you know, I have to say this, Jeff. You were so far in the rearview mirror in November. It is actually impressive that you're going to finish second in terms of dates.
I thought that I was going to go 0-for the season. I really thought that.
Yeah, because I'll tell you this. If San Jose wins tonight, it's Edmonton-San Jose on Thursday and Edmonton-Vancouver on Friday. I don't like that San Jose-Edmonton game. I really don't, for me.
Let's go Oilers. Let's go Oilers on that one. Speaking of the Oilers, a quick thought on what we've seen from this Oilers squad. And, you know, they can wrap up second if they're successful against the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, every time that I watch this team, and this is essentially the same team that the same people that we saw at the beginning of the season, but, man, Jay Woodcroft and Dave Vanson have done a hell of a job with this team. How they play, they don't lose matchups. You know, like the bottom pair on the Oilers never gets caught out there against a first or second pair or first or second line from the other team. Like they are running this thing really smoothly behind the bench. This has been a real impressive coaching performance by these two.
Very good. They've stabilized things. No question about it. The team is much more detail-oriented. You know, Jeff, I have people saying to me that they think that McDavid should be MVP.
Yeah, why not?
They think that he's getting kind of roasted a bit in the voting. So, I mean, I agree with you. They've been really good. But I think what good teams do is they nail things down. They had a bit of a rough one against Columbus on Sunday. Nail it down. Nail down your home ice. Don't make it wait to the last minute. Nail down your home ice. Although tonight, it's not obvious. Like, how many? The interesting thing about this tonight, you know, obviously Vegas Dallas is, you know, the main game for a lot of reasons. But we're 23 minutes into this interview and we haven't talked about McDavid Crosby. Like, you know, it's a marquee game. It's a marquee game. I love watching those guys play against each other.
There's a couple of interesting ones, you know, Carolina and the Rangers tonight. You know, Carolina can lock up top spot in the Metropolitan here with the big one. You're working Toronto and Detroit this evening. Tavares, Muzzin, Liljegren return for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. How are you setting this one up for each?
Well, I think that for me, the thing I'm watching tonight, there's two things. There's Muzzin, because he hasn't played a ton. And, you know, they're going to have some decisions to make. But also, Nick Robertson got called up. And you know, I understand, hey, he's an emergency call-up, but I understand Robertson has been on fire as of late. You know, I know that this year didn't start great for him, and last year he was injured a lot, but it sounds like he's been hot lately, and they've been really happy with him. Like, I know recently someone told me he got moved to the number one power play unit in the American League, and he also is doing a lot more penalty killing. I wonder if this is, if Bunting isn't ready for game one, this is Nick Robertson's two-game tryout to show that he can start there.
They've been waiting for the bubble guy back. right? Yeah. That Nick Robertson they saw in the bubble. We shall see. Real quick, Tampa plays Columbus tonight, but you know, not necessarily the game tonight. But do you have a thought quickly on what we've seen from Tampa the last three games? You know, smoke the Leafs 8-1, 6-2 against Nashville, double up the Cats 8-4. Recently, they're wrecking teams here, Friedge.
They're sending a message. You guys think we're tired? I feel pretty good. I liked watching Hedman yesterday laughing behind Biden at the White House too.
When he mispronounced the commissioner's name.
Yeah, you think Hedman's going to see that highlight for the rest of his career?
The rest of his career going away. Okay, that's great stuff. We will talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight and try to stay focused on Toronto Detroit, knowing full well that, you know, Dallas and Vegas is the biggie this evening. Thanks, pal.
That's why Anthony and David are there, to actually pay attention while I'm not.
You'll be there for the Vegas-Dallas update. So David will just throw to you with the Vegas-Dallas update. Great stuff. All right, pal. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Speak to you later.
He is Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts on Hockey Night in Canada, working tonight Sportsnet Ontario as the Toronto Maple Leafs face off against the Detroit Red Wings. A couple of other games on the go around Sportsnet. 8 o'clock Eastern, it's the Preds and the Calgary Flames. On 360, it's the Blues and the Avs. On Pacific, later on 10 o'clock Eastern, it is the Seattle Kraken facing off against the Vancouver Canucks. And the early game, 7 o'clock Eastern, as Elliot mentions, it's McDavid versus Crosby. The Edmonton Oilers can lock up second spot in the Pacific with a win tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. 7 o'clock Eastern on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Pacific. On that, we will pause, step away. We're going to come back and talk about the Premier Hockey Federation with the new commissioner of the PHF. She is Regan Carey. As the PHF heads into season 8 next year, a number of issues, whether it is any kind of relationship with either the NHL, the PWHPA, or Montreal expansion for the league. All these things up for grabs as we talk to Regan Carey here in a couple of moments. As the Merrick Show continues, thanks for joining me, and I'm really, really glad to be back across the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're back in a moment.